Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sider, and my very special guest today's show, Kevin Bowen of 107.5, 1070 The Fan. He's also a host of the Kevin's Corner podcast. You should already be listening to it. I think it's one of the best Colts podcasts out there. It does some great Pacer stuff and written content over on the website as well. Kevin, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Evan. Thanks for the kind words, man. And like we were talking about before the pod, I cannot believe that it's September 4th as we record this. And yeah, Colts are going to be having a win or a loss in the column a week from Sunday. It's just awesome to think about. And 2020 is finally looking up, people.
Yeah, as we're recording this here on Friday morning, 6 days away from actual NFL regular season football starting when Kansas City plays Houston. And obviously next Sunday, the Colts will be in Jacksonville to face the lowly Jacksonville Jaguars. They're really like a pawn shop right now, Kevin, selling off parts here and there. And I think they're in the Trevor Lawrence race right now for sure. But let's, before we get into the Jaguars, we're going to preview that in the second part of today's show. I wanted to hit on training camp storylines with you. And let me ask you first off, because I think this is the most surprising storyline that I saw out of camp from reading your work and others. Is this Tyquan Lewis leap look legitimate to you?
You know, he's probably been one of the best two or three players I saw at camp. Now, I throw in the caveat, I would say of most of the damage was done against second team work. I will also say that he had some really good one-on-one reps against, you know, Quentin Nelson and first team guys. So you hope that the light switch is coming on. You know, Matt Eberflus talked a few weeks back about this is kind of what they saw from Grover Stewart last year. You know, really good camp, year three, back end of the rookie contract, all of those things. You know, I feel like there is a lot of validity to that with Lewis. I've always liked his versatility. He's playing mostly inside right now, which I think is his best position. So, again, really, really productive. I think he gets it. He's healthy. But, again, you know, I would say the majority of the 11-on-11 disruption he had was against the second-team offensive line, which I think we all have concerns about.
Yeah, that obviously was an issue for me with Tyquan Lewis heading into this year was his consistency and being able to be that guy who could be maybe a two-down player. Injuries, obviously, he battled a little bit his first couple of years. Also, he's kind of in the doghouse last year, not getting much reps at all throughout the season. So a big year three for him. And if the light does turn on for him finally in 2020, that'll do a lot of things well for the Colts' depth on the defensive line, especially with Sheldon Day's injury currently that's holding him out. But let me ask you as well, Kevin, tell us some rookies for a second because – Michael Pittman Jr., Jonathan Taylor, the top two picks for the Colts in this draft class. It makes you wonder, too, overall about this Colts team with Taylor and Pittman. They're supposed to be instant impact guys. What did you see in camp?
You know, I would say that from Pittman, the first thing that stands out is just his size. You know, it has been a while since, you know, Colts have had a wideout that is of that stature. I know a lot of people have wanted me to compare kind of Desmond Patman and Michael Pittman. I'd say Patman, most of his damage, again, has been against the second unit, second team corners, Jacoby Brissett throwing him the ball, things like that. You know, Pittman, when he's been with the second unit at times, he's been very productive. You know, the handful of drops, you know, is something you certainly notice, but I think Frank Reich described it really well of, you know, this is a lot for a rookie to handle, even though we felt like, and I still believe Pittman is, you know, can handle what is thrown at a rookie wideout maybe a little bit better than others. You know, can he separate from NFL corners? I think that's always been kind of maybe the one question mark with his game. But I love how he tries to catch the ball. Again, a couple of drops, but I feel like he's made some contested catches, some tough catches. He looks like a much more natural catcher of the ball than some other guys. You know, as far as Taylor, I feel like it's difficult for running backs to truly shine when it's not fully live, considering a big aspect of Taylor's game is, you know, 225 pounds and guys bouncing off him. He had a huge day early on in camp in the indoor facility, and I think he's going to be the home run hitter for this offense. I don't think anything against him that Marlon Mack is the starter. I mean, unless Marlon Mack got hurt, he was going to be the starter. But I've said it several times now. Ball security, that is the first part of his game that he's got to make sure he proves at the NFL level. And if he can do that and give you a couple home runs, he's going to eat into more and more playing time. So I've said it all offseason long. These two guys are critical to this team playing in the month of January, and I still believe that. Even though, you know, Pittman I might expect rotate in a little bit more with Campbell and Zach Pascal, these two guys are still going to be really, really key pieces to this offense.
Speaking of Jonathan Taylor, at least the plan early on in the year, I could imagine Frank Reich using a Nick Sirianni as well, is that you use Marlon Mack a lot in the first half, and then later on in the game, a fresh Jonathan Taylor really comes in that, like you mentioned, 225-pound running back with 4.39 speed, really just takes over the game late, and they are able to really bleed that clock out behind Quentin Nelson, that offensive line, and really just bully teams in the second half of games. Could you imagine that being sort of the plan, or do you imagine it being more of a trade-off each every series?
Yeah, I think early on in the game, you know, kind of a trade-off, you know, late in the fourth quarter, that's what I'll be curious to see of, is that where you go back to your trust in Mack? Been there, done that, you know, iced games away in the NFL before, that sort of thing. And maybe Taylor's just got to prove himself there. But, you know, it's kind of funny, the couple big runs Mack had at Lucas Oil a few weeks back, those came in kind of their second half of the scrimmage. And I think that's just, this offensive line is going to wear down opposing defensive lines. And certainly that's a key week one when you look at Jacksonville, of a very depleted defensive line among other position groups, and 90-degree heat. And if you're able to do that, then that's going to be huge and getting that win and making sure you start the year off 1-0. So, yeah, I can see trading off series, but, you know, maybe Max sneaks in that first series of the second half, even if he played the last series of the first half, you know, something like that. So I don't know if it'll be an outright split early on in the year, but I think over time it is something that you could definitely see.
Yeah, definitely something to watch out for throughout the year, because I imagine Jonathan Taylor, as he gets more and more comfortable in this system, might be more of an even 50-50 split as we get towards November or December time. But let me ask you about this other story that's really intrigued me too, because I don't know why exactly the Colts are doing this, and you've had the same questions too, Kevin. Jacob Eason has a very aesthetically pleasing arm, a very good throwing motion. He fits the quarterback billing with his size. But they've had Chad Kelly running QB3 over Eason so far throughout training camp, did the same thing in the live scrimmages too at Lucas Oil Stadium. Why do you think the Colts are doing that, Kevin? Doing that maybe bodes a sign for Eason? I personally don't think he won't make the roster. I think he's a lock almost for the 53-man roster. But why do you think they're running Kelly over Eason right now?
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand that you have Chad Kelly on your roster. He's 26 years old. He used to be a backup in the NFL. This isn't some bum, and he deserves to have reps. So I get it. I've just been surprised that Eason hasn't gotten a few more, considering – there is no preseason action. You haven't seen him in games like you've seen Chad Kelly. He is new to this offense, so I would think he needs to learn a lot more. And, you know, maybe when you get in the regular season, maybe Kelly will be the scout team quarterback, but it's not like Kelly, and I'm saying that if Kelly's on the practice squad, it's not like Eason's going to get a whole lot of reps in the regular season, obviously. So, especially running this offense. So that has been a bit head-scratching to me. I mean, Eason has looked very good. I mean, he's such a great thrower of the football. He should excel in these settings. You know, it's red jersey, it's minimal pressure, it's no one sacking him, things like that. But, yeah, we haven't got just kind of a clear answer on that. It's been pretty even in terms of the reps. Maybe Kelly's gotten a few more. And to be fair, Kelly did have some nice production with the third-team offense at times, especially earlier in camp. But selfishly, and I think for the long-term view of this franchise, I think Jacob Eason's got a better chance to impact you than Chad Kelly. So I think in an ideal world, you'd get Eason on your 53-man roster, and then Chad Kelly would be on your practice squad.
Yeah, let me ask you about this too, Kevin, just because these two quarterbacks, of course, have very different throwing motions, and I imagine the power behind the throws are a lot different too. What's it like seeing Philip Rivers throwing motion up close and also then Jacob Eason?
It'd be totally different. You know, I think Philip was really candid earlier this week and talking about that. You know, Rivers obviously has got the backyard motion and, you know, lobbing passes, underhand, sidearm, every sort of angle. And Eason is how you would build a quarterback. You know, 5-10 years ago, he is the prototypical stature, size, motion, velocity, all of that. You know, Rivers said, you know, some of those boundary throws outside the numbers, I've got to throw it a little bit earlier because my ball just doesn't, you know, pop and come out as quick as it does for Eason. So, it's totally different. It's one of the best motions and arms I've seen in my years covering the NFL. And, you know, we noticed it in college, but even seeing it on an NFL field, it just is really, really impressive. And that's the stuff you can't teach. Now it comes of the developmental part of, okay, can he process things? Can he learn this offense? And then ultimately translate that into game settings.
Colts fans, Built Bar is the best protein bar ever. As you all know, they are even more improved though. They're even more delicious as well. They have 18 amazing flavors, 6 new ones as well, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, and carrot cake, as well as apple almond crisp, which are all so delicious. I've tried them myself, and they are really good. The Built Bars are healthy as well. They're great for a health conscious guy out there, and they help lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, and great for a keto diet. For example, a cherry barcia Built Bar is 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, with only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carbs. A very tasty treat to keep you tied over throughout the day. Built Bar has this reset promo for you for a free cooler if you want to get it while supplies last. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, at BuiltBar.com, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Colts fans, take advantage of this deal from Built Bar right away. Last few questions on training camp before we transition to the Jaguars preview, Kevin. Speaking of Philip Rivers, what's he looked like so far in camp? Because from all indications, reading your work and others, he's really controlled this camp. He's had a really great camp as well so far into the regular season. And it sounds like from all indications, too, that he's already a leader, a captain of this team.
Yeah, I mean, he just has an unbelievable amount of command. And I think ultimately, a lot of respect. That is something that I don't think we can overlook either of. He has a resume that impresses a lot of people and certainly has accomplished a lot in this league, and I think that's going to garner what this offense is looking for, even though they're close to Jacoby Brissett. This team is close to Jacoby Brissett, all those things. They knew deep down the quarterback play wasn't good enough. You know, something I've really been kind of drilling home over the past week or so is I just think mentally Philip Rivers just accelerates his ability to process information in a very quick manner, and he's decisive. He goes through his reads. He knows he's not crazy gifted in terms of scrambling. He knows he doesn't have this rocket arm anymore, and so he's got to get rid of the ball quick. He's got to give his wideouts chances to make plays after the catch, and I think he's just very cognizant of that, and he has a great mind. I mean, I remember back even before he signed, you know, Frank Reich saying something to the effect of, Philip Rivers is top 10 smartest football guy I've been around. That means a lot. I mean, that's Frank Reich. I think Frank Reich's a brilliant football mind. So for him to say that, these two are going to be in sync on that. And I think that was something that really bothered the Colts last season. You know, physically, Jacoby Brissett does some things really well from throwing the football. His ability to obviously, you know, shed tacklers, things like that. But still, it is something to can we try and accelerate that info a little bit quicker? And Rivers, certainly the numbers from snap to release indicate that. And when you watch the two back-to-back, it's pretty clear that that's what we're seeing during camp.
DeForest Buckner, the other star on the other side, a new addition for this Colts team. And he had a little bit of issues in camp with a hand injury, Kevin, but he looked in the last scrimmage like a dominant force and one that should be an all-pro type player the Colts expect him to after trading in their first-round pick for him in March. What did you see for Buckner and Kent stood out to you?
You know, selfishly, the hand injury kept him out of the one-on-ones, which I absolutely hate. But still, you know, it is something to where you notice the sheer size. Going back to Pittman, it's like, wait, that guy is that big and, you know, is able to disrupt, you know, whatever, passing lanes and just clogs up a lot of space. Like I said with running backs earlier, I think it's hard for trench guys to truly notice them until it's really live because they aren't allowed to finish, you know, a lot of run plays or even get sacks. But, yeah, I mean, that last practice of Lucas Oil, there are back-to-back plays where he just whipped Braden Smith, had a tackle for loss. And then the next play, I think he pushed, I think it was Kelly, pushed Kelly right back into the pocket, and Rivers had to get rid of it early. Those are the type of plays that's why he signed him or traded for him and then gave him the contract that you did. So we didn't get to see any of that Buckner-Nelson one-on-one, unfortunately. But still, his presence at 6'7" speaks for itself, and I fully expect him to be a really, really disruptive player for the Colts.
What are your expectations, Kevin, overall for this defense after seeing them in camp? Obviously, DeForest Buckner on board now. You brought in Xavier Rhodes, Rocky Asin. If one of those guys goes down, I'm worried about the corner depth there. But overall, everywhere else looks like it's very strong for this team. Where do you think this team could finish as far as overall defense production in 2020?
Yeah, you know, corner depth is my biggest worry as well. And then I still worry about just the diversification, if you will. I don't really know if that makes sense. But just how multiple are your skill sets in the pass rush? And basically, I say that in reference to the Kamoko Turi injury. You know, he's a guy that I feel like you really need to count on. You need that speed guy coming off the edge. that is critical for this defense. So if you can get that and then Rock Ya-Sin and Xavier Rhodes can stay healthy, I don't see any reason why this shouldn't be a defense that hovers around, you know, a top 10 to 12 unit. The schedule's pretty easy. You know, some analytics people feel like it's easy to schedule in the NFL, so it's not like the offense is, you know, loaded that you're playing this season. And I also think, too, something to keep in mind, and, you know, I know Anthony Walker hit on this yesterday. Bobby Okereke did earlier in the offseason, and I'm going to post something on this coming week on 107.5thefan.com. This defense just doesn't turn the ball over enough, and the Colts haven't. And I think if you go back the past decade, I don't think they've been top 20 in forced turnovers at all. Maybe one time, but I can't recall it. That's got to change. And when they talk this offseason about creating more big plays, yes, the Jonathan Taylor situation was a big part of that offensively, but defensively they didn't do that either. So I think getting your hand and they didn't get their hands on a ton of balls. Rivers did a good job protecting it for the most part. I thought this camp, obviously fumbles is not something you usually see until it gets live, but that will certainly be a critical part of any success that this defense has.
Do you think we're going to see any surprise cuts tomorrow, Kevin? Obviously, cutdowns around the NFL happen on Saturday. Do you envision any happening? Maybe, I mean, I'd be surprised if Sheldon Day got cut, even though he hasn't played so far in camp, just because he was a free and signing for them, a valuable depth piece at the one tech behind Grover Stewart. But is there anywhere else on this roster you could see maybe a surprise, maybe bigger name, look good by the Colts on Saturday?
You know, I guess, are there any, you know, surprise names to throw at me? Like, I don't, you know, is Jordan Wilkins, is Reese Fountain, is Sheldon Day? Like, I don't know of any, you know, I know earlier in the year people talked about Danico Autry, it would save some money, but no, I don't see that. I mean, Tyquan Lewis, I expect to make the team. I mean, unless you have a name, Evan, who did you just mention earlier?
Sheldon Day.
Day was the one. You know, I still think he can give you something. So I would like to keep him on the 53 initially, then put him on the IR to return at some point during the season. You know, maybe you have decent depth there. I thought Rob Windsor had a really good camp, the rookie out of Penn State. But still, I mean, I think Day would give you something and has been there, done that before. So, yeah, I just don't have a lot of, you know, big-time names that I see. Again, Wilkins, I think a fourth running back means a lot to the Colts in this, in just security purposes. You know, in the secondary, I can't see Tavon Wilson getting cut. I think they like their safety depth, keeping five there. Yeah, I mean, maybe a linebacker, but you know, EJ Speed would be a little bit surprising. I think you would still want to wait on him. I don't know. Maybe they think they can get him to the practice squad and can, you know, try him over there. But yeah, I don't see anybody standing out to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to really go status quo for this Colts team because they've built a very strong 53-man roster already. Maybe Reese Fountain or Marcus Johnson could be traded for a 7th-round pick tomorrow. Who knows? They have that ability now. They also are able to be very more diverse at the linebacker position too. They've drafted all these guys. Maybe they let EJ Speed go or Matthew Adams go. It would not surprise me either. But let's transition now, Kevin, into the Jaguars game. It's the first time, feels like in forever, we're talking about a game for the Indianapolis Colts. They're going to be playing next Sunday in Jacksonville. The line per DraftKings, Kevin, is 7.5 for this Colts team. So Vegas expects them to win by at least 7 to 10 points. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
On paper, I think it makes sense. I mean, this Jacksonville team looks like they should be playing, you know, 10 a.m. on a Saturday in a JV game. But, you know, still, I think there's so much unknown going into the season that we don't really know what everybody has. And as much as I thought that Jacksonville team didn't have anything talent-wise week 17 last year, boy, they really controlled that game, borderline dominated it at times against the Colts. So, I don't know. I feel like in this market, we just have this weird sort of like, oh, gosh, winning in Jacksonville is so difficult, which it is compared to what the Colts have done over the last handful of years. And Gardner Minshew had a huge day against his team, you know, last year in that season finale. But still, you've got to go down there and get a win. I mean, the spread is the spread. Throw it out the window. Just get a win. Just start 1-0, regroup, come home, and, you know, move on because that is one of the – probably the hottest game you're going to play all season from a weather standpoint. You know, you worry a little bit about conditioning with no preseason games, things like that. But when you look at the schedule, we've talked about it before, I know. It's early in the year. Get off to a fast start. I mentioned their defensive line earlier. Jacksonville is pretty depleted up front. I think you pound it, and you're able to establish that in the second half, third, fourth quarter. That's when that heat kind of wears on them. So, I think all of that will lead me to obviously pick the Colts. But still, early on in the year, 5-2 start, I think that should be the goal.
Yeah, like you mentioned there, Kevin, I think the trenches and the offensive line, defensive line sets up well from the feast in this type of game, because Taylor and Mack running behind those guys up front should be a field day, especially with no Yonk and Ngakoue on the Jaguars anymore. I do wonder, too, from the defense side of things, from the Jaguars offense, their running backs are now, from reading stuff, as Reichwell Armstead and Divine Osgiebo. So that kind of shows you where they're at a running back position. So I imagine it could be a lot of Gardner Minshew throwing the ball to DJ Chark, LaVisca Chenault, the rookie they have. A lot of pressure on Rocky Ascending Xavier Rhodes week one, or if they could take the pressure off him a little bit, a game where DeForest Buckner and the front four could really do well for themselves.
No, I think that is something as well of, what the Colts have done well with Jacksonville, they've actually done a pretty good job against Leonard Fournette, which, is, a bit surprising, but this defense has done well, really overall against the run just in general. But when you look at Jacksonville right now, DJ Chark is obviously their best skill player. Just can't let Minshew get into a rhythm. I think back to that game last year and just think back to how easy of a rhythm he was able to get into. And ultimately, you weren't able to create the disruption that you feel like you're better equipped to create this season. So I think that is obviously very important. And I do think the Colts are much better suited to be able to handle that. Those would be some of the keys for me. From a health standpoint, I don't expect Kamoko Ture to play. We'll see. I just don't think a week of practice and after missing, 11 months is enough for him. And then Trey Burton, obviously not having him, I think is a loss. But yeah, the 7.5 line, if it was probably anybody but Jacksonville, I'd probably say take it just because, it makes a lot of sense considering all the dysfunction they've had. But for some reason, the Colts have just really, really struggled down there. And even struggled when Andrew Luck was a quarterback. He got shut out there in 2018 as well. But still, expect to win, come home 1-0, and I think it'll be a really good game week two against the Vikings.
Last one I had for you, Kevin. How curious are you, or intrigued, I should say, to see Philip Rivers behind this offensive line for the first time? Because we've seen Rivers throughout his career kind of run for his life the last few years in Los Angeles. Behind this five up front, it should be a way for Rivers to maybe bounce back to 2018 form.
Oh, without a doubt. That's the big thing that we've heard all offseason long is he's playing behind the best offensive line that he's had in his 17-year NFL career. So certainly that is what I'm really excited to see. And obviously the health of that unit is paramount for this season as well. There is a balance to this offense that you look at and I'm like, wow. If everything's clicking and that O-line can continue to be one of the better units in the NFL, I think this offense then can be one of the better ones in the NFL as well. But that's kind of the big domino for me is if that unit can hold up, then you'll see a positive trickle-down effect. If you get banged up front, then I worry about just how successful you can be. And I still come back to maybe it's more the big play offense. And, in San Diego and at L.A., I feel like, and mainly, I guess, with the Chargers lately, Philip Rivers found a lot of big play success with just Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams. Those guys often kind of going up and getting it, and I guess specifically Mike Williams. He doesn't have that same personnel here. But if you can get the big plays via the play action game, I think that could allow for a little bit more success talking vertically, get behind the last line of defense, those sorts of things.
Kevin, appreciate it, and I always enjoy talking Colts football with you. You guys can go follow him on Twitter at KBowen1070. Go read his work as well over on 107.5/1070thefan.com and subscribe to his podcast, Kevin's Corner. Kevin, appreciate the time.
Yes, sir, Evan. Let's do it. Football, man. I love it.